welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
All right, Coach, just take a quick look back at last week's win against Hallsville, 56-12. When you went and looked at it on film, what were some things that jumped out at you?
A lot of positives for us. I think the game got played at the pace that Hallsville wanted to play it, with their spread offense, but they're a slow spread offense, methodical, but throw it every down. So it felt like the game was real slow. But we watched. We were in great position defensively 95% of the time. Offensively, we may have been as efficient as we'd been all year. Special teams, we played really well. So I thought after watching film, if you weren't there for the live version of it, it looked really well. It took a long time because of all the incompletions, all the penalties, all the things that went into it. It made it for a kind of an ugly win, if you can say that. But when we watched film, we did a lot of really good things, and it was a very, very productive night for us.
See, that was the thing. We knew going in that they were going to throw the ball a lot. And 54 pass attempts, I mean, even at pro or college, that's a lot, but in high school, it's definitely a lot. And that's not an easy thing for a defense to sustain, because you're talking about 54 plays where you have a pass rush on, and it was a very different feeling for the defense this week, wasn't it?
It was, and then you take into account, I believe we counted, they had 10 delay games, or, you know, 10 delay a game plus timeout usage. Mm-hmm. So that's another 10 plays where everything was just off rhythm for what you go into a game. And that's the way they want to play football, and more credit to them. I'm not taking anything. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just we have to learn to be patient in those situations. And I thought we did do a good job with that for the most part. We played without Bryson Varner again, who was, you know, by far and away probably our best defensive player. So when you do that and you take into account you held a team to 22 points less than their season total, we held them to under 100 yards less than our average passing, our total offense mm-hmm. for the year, we played pretty doggone good defense. I think, again, as coaches, as players, everybody in general has to take a breath when you play a team like that and say, they're throwing the ball, but they were averaging 4 yards per pass. So when you're averaging 4 yards per pass, that's not exactly blistering you, but it just felt a lot different just because of the way the flow of the game.
What can you tell us about this week's opponent in Southern Boone?
Well, they look good on film. They do. They struggled last week against a really good Osage team. Osage is really doing a good job right now. Osage got on a little bit, and Osage threw 5 touchdown passes, which is quite extraordinary for an Osage team to do that, but they were successful at it. So Southern Boone on defense has been really strong all year. They're not giving up many points. Offensively, they move the ball at times. They're not exactly, scoring points in bunches, but they're scoring enough points to win games, and they've done a really good job with their offense, with what personnel they're using and how they're using them. Defensively, they're really strong. D-line's a very good unit. Their linebackers scrape and go real well. Last week, the secondary is a situation that happened against Osage, but against an Osage team, how many times are you ever going to see all that much? So I think caught them a little off guard.
You talk every week about how the goal is to go 1-0, and I feel like week 9, it's a chance for a 3-for-1. If you go 1-0, you wrap up another goal of winning a conference championship, and you wrap up a 1 seed in a first-round bye. So how much of an emphasis is it on the kids? Like, hey, this is one of those things like, yes, our goal is to go 1-0 every week, but this is a week where you have an opportunity to wrap up a number of goals.
Well, it started last Saturday. And we came out, the first thing we do is we look at the roadmap of where we're at and where we're going with the players, showed them the district point total, and said, hey, you win, you're the number one seed. Now, what's the number one goal up there? It's 1-0. What's the number two goal? Win the conference championship. This is for the conference championship. You win the conference, you win this game, you win the conference championship outright. So you took the words right out of my mouth. I haven't said 3-for-1, but we have really stated that all week. If you can't get excited playing this game because it's for conference championship, and the number one seed in districts, by golly, you better check your pulse.
All right. right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. So, Greg, 56-12 win against Hallsville last week. You said we were going to see multitudes of passes. How many did the multitudes end up being?
Ended up being 54.
Okay.
You know,
it's not 60, so that's good.
Not 60, but 54 is still a lot.
Right.
And they completed, I believe, 30 of them. So,
okay.
You know, better than 50%. But a lot, again, a lot of them were of that variety of quick screen passes, and a number of them were for like your 2 to 4 yards.
Sure.
Like they averaged about 4 yards per pass attempt.
Okay.
Which, I mean, if you're going to throw the ball that much, even like, you know, 50 times 4, what, 200? So, I mean, they did get close to 300 yards passing by the end, but it just not quite what you... You had to throw some deep balls, and they did have a couple of nice passes. The touchdown pass to Isaac Stinson, their first one, was a pretty good one. Just didn't get enough deep ball catches, and if you're going to... Again, they had to throw quick passes, though, just because the Blair Oaks pass rush was, you know, all over Ray Matheny quite a bit. Now, he did really get sacked. Like, to me, that's impressive that they had that many pass attempts, and I think maybe he got sacked 3 times.
Okay.
So, you know, good job of eluding the Blair Oaks pass rush, but the Blair Oaks pass rush also did its job by forcing him. I mean, he probably had about 10 intentional throwaways.
Okay.
You know, it's just one of those things that kind of added up. And if you're having to throw screen passes to get your completion ins, that's not what Hallsville wants.
And it's going to be hard to get a ton of sacks. I mean, no matter how good your pass rush is, if the quarterback's getting rid of it in 2 seconds or
exactly.
less, you're not going to have time to get to him.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, like they did what they had to do, which was pressure him into
sure.
making quick decisions. Didn't throw any interceptions, too. I think that's the other thing that also really impressed
okay.
me about Matheny was he came into the game with, what, 20 touchdown passes and 16 interceptions. So for him, not throwing an interception against a very good Blair Oaks defense, that's positive. But to me, that's also a correlation of, like, he didn't really throw the ball downfield much,
right.
which is when you're going to throw a lot of your interceptions. I mean, the way he was passing, the only way he was going to throw an interception was if, like, a Blair Oaks quarterback like, and cut him off and intercepted a screen pass.
Sure.
But, you know, I thought it was a very good game for the Blair Oaks defense to hold that team to just 12 points when they've been averaging 30 on a lot of teams. You know, a season low 12 points at that. You know, that was the 5th conference game, and those were the first 2 touchdowns allowed by the Blair Oaks first string defense. That's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So it's the 5th straight conference game, you know, 5th straight conference win. Falcons are 7-1 overall, looking to finish that undefeated slate, you know, in the Tri-County tonight when they travel to Southern Boone. It's a Southern Boone team that, you know, 5-3 overall, 3-2 in the Tri-County. I think we weren't sure just how good this team might be when we talked about them early on. We thought they might be okay. We thought they might, you know, maybe if things went well, might maybe challenge for second place in the conference, depending on how it went. I'll give you some laurels at this point. I mean, they lost pretty handily last week, 45-7 at Osage. And I think you said a couple weeks ago that, you know, Osage did get thumped by Blair Oaks, but they might just run the slate on the rest of their schedule. And they're now, what, 7-1 overall at this point.
Yeah.
So you're right. That is a pretty good Osage team when they're not playing Blair Oaks.
They've been playing great defense. I mean, again, like I said before, like you, when all of your skill players are in their third year starters, that's such a big difference in terms of experience. You know, it was a close game early on. I went back and actually watched it from start to finish so I could kind of get some stats on Southern Boone. And it was kind of a back and forth. You know, Southern Boone drove and got down to the 25, I think, on the first possession. But, you know, a turnover on downs. And then, you know, Osage goes 75 yards, scores. And Southern Boone was having to play catch-up, which, you know, really... You take a look at that, and in high school football, the last thing you want to do is play catch-up.
Right.
Because it is such a hard thing to do at that
sure.
level. I mean, we see it on Sundays, we see NFL teams come back all the time, but that's, I mean, to me, that's a totally, completely different thing.
I think it's just the composure part of it. I think it just discombobulates you sometime where it's just like there's a tendency to panic and think we've got to get it back right now. It's not like a basketball game where you're looking and go, okay, we can get, you know, if we put together a 5-0 run here and then give up points and then get another 5-0 run. I think sometimes when you're like, we're down 7, we got to get that 7 back right now or else. And I think there's, I think that the hard part to teach high schoolers is there's time. Yeah. But like you say, if you start to panic, then all of a sudden the wheels can fall off real quick.
Well, looking at my notes, let's see. So Ohio State scores a touchdown to go up 7-0. Southern Boone comes out, 3 incomplete passes, 3 and out punt. Osage scores another touchdown. Southern Boone comes out, interception thrown on 3rd and long. Osage comes back, gets a field goal. Southern Boone, another 3 and out. And all of a sudden, just like that, it's a 17-0 game.
Right. And that you can't come back from. Where you can come back from 7-0 down 17-0 becomes kind of monumental.
The incomplete passes. I mean, to me, I think that was more of a result. Like if Mason Shearer, Southern Boone's quarterback, it just seemed like he was, you know, a step or two off with his receivers, just slightly underthrown or slightly overthrown. And honestly, there were probably about 3 or 4 drops. And I feel like the incomplete passes really snowballed on Southern Boone. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Osage played great defense, but I also think Southern Boone had some opportunities slip away from them where they could have gotten back into that game early on the offensive end.
So I don't want to pile on Southern Boone unnecessarily, but there have been years where when they come into a game like this with a 5-3 record, you go, yeah, but who have they played? I think this is still a battle-tested team because I think they've played a pretty good schedule this year where you go, yeah, to be 5-3, I think, against the kind of schedule they have this year, that's still pretty darn good.
I mean, you got to give them credit. I would argue they have the second toughest non-conference schedule in the Tri-County. I mean, you look, there are 3 non-conference. I mean, so first off, Blair Oaks has the toughest one because they play Maryville, Lutheran, North, and then, Blue Valley Southwest out of Kansas. Right. Southern Boone opens with Odessa. That was a close win. They then played Mexico and, I believe, shut them out.
Yeah, 21-0.
And then they go down to Dexter. And that was, I mean, Dexter's number 3 in the state. They're undefeated. And I think they're the team that's played Dexter the closest all year and lost 24-21. And I thought at that time, that was coming off that loss to Boonville. I remember thinking, you know, I know Southern Boone's 2-2, but... Or three and two, maybe at that point. But like they played 5 really good games. I would argue by their standards. Let's be honest. I mean, elephant in the room. The biggest difference this year is this would be also a significantly different Southern Boone team if they still have Brady Dapkins.
Right.
I argue that Southern Boone was a top 10 team last year.
Yeah.
They were by far one of the teams that played Blair Oaks the closest. I mean, they scored 4 touchdowns in the regular season finale against Blair Oaks and then 4 touchdowns again in the district semifinals. And, you know, the only Lutheran North and Park Hill Central put up more points against Blair Oaks last year. Right. Those were 2 really good teams that either won a state title or reached the Class 4 state semifinal. So Southern Boone, I know they weren't ranked last year, they were this year, but I think a lot of it has to do with they've played a tough schedule, they've lost some games, and let's be honest, I think Class 3 was much deeper last year, whereas if you look, I mean, right now, Maryville's number 9 in the state, and they're 4-4. Now, a lot of that has to do with injuries and playing a really tough schedule, but Class 3 is not quite as deep this year.
Sure.
So I know Southern Boone has been ranked this year, but you could tell that they're missing that key player.
Right. Well, that key player then went to Blair Oaks, and that's helped them. And so I guess, you know, there'll be that little bit of intrigue tonight when they get together. But I also feel like, you know, I don't think Southern Boone will be too worried about that from the standpoint of, like, there's plenty of other things they've got to worry about tonight.
It's just
a matter of, can this defense kind of keep them in it to keep this somehow close tonight?
But they really knew, they kind of need that breakout type player. I mean, Shearer does a good job as a running quarterback. He's also got a number of targets, but they really, I feel like they're missing that consistent go-to type receiver. It's really kind of, you know, split out between among like Jace Troth, Jace Wren, Eli Piper. So it's a number of different receivers, but you haven't seen too many of them have like that breakout game or be that go-to receiver in clutch time. I mean, you take a look at the Osage game, and I think they each had about 30 yards receiving. You know, Troth had a touchdown catch in that game. defensively, and see, that's the thing. Like, the other thing is, like, you know, Blair Oaks has to go back and watch a lot of what they saw earlier in the season from Southern Boone, because what they did last week was, because Osage is a run-heavy team, they stacked 8 in the box. I think they had 5 down linemen, 3 linebackers. Well, I don't think they're going to do that against Blair Oaks. You could also argue maybe that's why Osage had some success against Southern Boone's defense, because with 8 in the box, you know, 5 of their 6 touchdowns were passing touchdowns, so they took advantage of the secondary. They come out with like a 3-3 type defense. So, so going back to having a Brady Dapkus, we've talked about how Blair Oaks has a great offensive line, and they also have that three-headed monster of Tyler Bax, Hayden Lackman, Brady Dapkus. And it's hard to stop all three at the same time, because what a lot of teams have done is they focus on one, and Blair Oaks will beat you with one of the other two. Right. And so, that, to me, it'll be kind of, that will be the interesting part about this game. I mean, what is Southern Boone going to try to stop all three? Are they going to key in on one or two of those guys, and they're the third one to beat them? So to me, that's going to be the interesting matchup, is what was Southern Boone going to do? Because they do have a very good defensive line that is led by Aiden Young.
Right, right. We don't want to look too far ahead, but this game also has some district implications.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Blair Oaks is comfortably in at one. I think there's nothing that's probably going to keep them out of this spot. But it's Southern Boone's right now sitting in the third spot in the district standings, and they're just barely ahead of Knob Noster. So what does that mean? Well, you're going to probably, if you're going to win this district, you're going to have to play Blair Oaks. It's going to go through Blair Oaks again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like almost like if you're Southern Boone and you kind of keep this one close and not have it like be a 13-point defeat, maybe that helps you when we're talking about decimal points. Between them and Knob Noster right now. So maybe it's just if you stay in the three spot and get Boonville maybe in the district semis and stay away from Blair Oaks for another week, that might be good, as opposed to if you fall a little bit and Knob Noster jumps you, then you got to play him in the district semis.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't look. I think Knob Noster has a pretty winnable game in week 9.
And
so
it is, it's a class 2 opponent.
Right,
so.
And it's going to be hard for them to leapfrog unless they win.
Yeah.
Blair Oaks, so what, you got Blair Oaks, then Boonville, then Knob Noster, then Southern Boone, if I remember right.
Southern Boone, then Knob Noster.
So it's one of those things where, Boonville holds that tiebreaker over Southern Boone.
Right.
Blair Oaks holds the tiebreaker over Boonville. But earlier in the podcast, one of the questions, or one of the things I brought up to Coach LePage, is this is really a 3-for-1 week. You know, their goal is to go 1-0 every week, obviously.
Right.
Goal number 2 is to win a conference championship. Well, if you go 1-0 this week, you win the conference championship outright. And I don't really think this is a goal that they write down, but it's a goal they keep in their back of their mind, is you want to finish with the number 1 seed in district.
Sure.
Because A, you clinch home field advantage through district playoffs, and B, you get that bye in week 10 in a 7-team district. So this is really, if you win tonight, it's a 3-for-1 deal.
Yeah.
You get the 1-0, you get the conference title, and you get the 1 seed in districts in the first round bye. So, if Southern Boone finds a way to pull off the upset, it all of a sudden everybody's going to the computer to see how everything
right.
shakes out. But
right.
if Blair Oaks does what it's supposed to do, takes care of business, they get the 1 seed, and you don't have to worry about too much after that.
How's the injury scenario for the Falcons at this point in the season?
So James Rodman, who was a backup defensive lineman, suffered an arm injury late in the Hallsville game. He'll be out this week. But the person he was filling in for, Bryson Varner, who has missed, the past 2 games with a shoulder injury, is expected to be back this week.
Okay.
He probably could have played 2 weeks ago, but it's one of those things, All-State defensive lineman, your best defensive player. First off, it's a 2-for-1 thing. Let's get him rested. Let's get him healthy for the games that really have more significance down the road.
Sure.
And B, it gave somebody like a James Rodman more playing time and got him that experience, which unfortunately led to that injury. But so Barn will be back. It'll be interesting to see how Southern Boone can handle him, because as we mentioned, if Varner had played last week against Hallsville, goodness, who knows how many what that pressure would have been like.
Right, right.
But, other than that, Blair Oaks is looking pretty healthy, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
All right. I just ask you tonight, who comes out on top and by how much?
Oh, goodness. I still can't believe this. I look this up every year, and I always shake my head that, Blair Oaks has not lost to Southern Boone.
Right.
Even in Southern Boone's best years, like 2018, I know there are a couple other ones out there. The problem is those are also in some of Blair Oaks'
sure,
best years.
Right, right.
So I think Blair Oaks remains undefeated against Southern Boone. I think they go in there and they find a way to win this one. I think in the paper I said 56-14, so let's stick with that score.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.